Blog Talk Radio.
From Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training center in Denver, Colorado, this is the Dog Doctor. Committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogdoctorradio.com. The Dog Doctor is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now here is your host, Dr. Robert Forto, the Dog Doctor.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto coming to you live from Denver Dog Works, listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show brought to you by Twine Group Media. It is Saturday, June 26th. A beautiful, hot day in Denver, Colorado, and I'm here with my co-host, business partner, and wife, Michelle. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, summer is well on its way, and I'd like to remind everybody, first and foremost, to make sure that when you are doing activities, especially here in Denver with your dog, to pack along extra water for your best friend.
And, you know, in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to take our German Shepherd out for about a four-mile hike up here in the Colorado mountains, and he has never been in the Jeep with the top off, so hopefully we can get that 30 miles on the freeway with no problems.
I hope so, too.
I know that is our daughter's dog, and she would probably kill me if anything happened to Kane. So we'll make sure that he arrives safely, and we'll take plenty of water for our little hike. And I'm planning on running most of the way. A little bit of Iditarod training is what we're doing today.
Well, you know what? If you don't bring him back, you might as well not come back.
That's what your dad said about taking Nicole up to Alaska next week.
You know, she's right on the same path as far as it goes with her dog. He is her best friend, and she'll do anything for him. So what's on the agenda today?
Well, we're talking to some people that are taking part in the Bark World Expo in Atlanta in August 20th through 22nd. At Atlantic Station in Atlanta, Georgia. But before we get into that, I want to give everybody a little bit of an update about our trip to California last week. I was in Auberry, California, and ran some sled dogs up in the Sierra Nevada Mountains and looked at a house over there for our eventual Team Aneke placement. And as we just mentioned, we're going up to Alaska next weekend to look at another property to run some sled dogs up in Willow, Alaska. And I do want to say that California was very nice, but it is too dang hot there. I know you grew up in that area. What do you think of there?
Well, as you know, I did grow up in that area. Auberry is just outside of Fresno, for those of you listening and are familiar with California at all. The San Joaquin Valley can get extremely hot in the summer months. Typically, I remember it being upwards of 110 to 115 degrees for not just a day or two, but for weeks on end in the summer there. So it is very hot, not something that this Minnesota boy that I married is used to at all. But that being said, you know, California is beautiful. There's a lot of people that run sled dogs from California, but they do have to do it a little bit differently. Their training season on carts and on dirt roads is much longer than it is for the more northern states.
And what I'm liking, it's only 42 degrees in Willow, Alaska right now, so that's more my kind of weather.
Absolutely. You know, and I didn't really want to go back to California, but other than to visit, I know the area very well. I know the political base that's there, and I'm just not interested.
So, folks, you know which way we're leaning, I guess, from our talks here. And I think Denise, the founder of the Bark World Expo, is probably just laughing listening to this. It's probably about 220 degrees over in Atlanta with humidity well above that. And we're going to get a weather report for her in just a second. But before we do that, Michelle, tell us a little bit about what you got going on with our Camp Works programs. I know we have a brand new video, and you can watch it right here on the Blog Talk Radio site, blogtalkradio.com/dogworks, and you can see our cute little video that we just had made thanks to Rich Miller of Studio 123, I believe, here in Denver.
Oh, yeah, he did a great job. I would like to say to everybody out there, if you are interested in a Camp Works, please visit our website, denverdogworks.com. Camp Works is a board and train program that I offer at Denver Dog Works, and don't be afraid, we're not leaving to go to Alaska full-time. We're doing this as a dual residency type thing. I am still staying down here in Denver while Robert is building Team Aneke. But, you know, Camp Works is a good program. I have for whatever reason this year, I have seen more people dropping their dogs off with me for board and trains than I have in the last 3 years. Could be because of the economy. Last year, I basically had two dogs the entire summer for Camp Works board and trains. This summer, I am overbooked. I have over 12 dogs over the next 12 weeks booked for Camp Works programs. So people are out there vacationing and spending their money.
And with that, we have a very special dog that we just got in. Well, he's actually coming in on Monday. His name is Lennox. Can you tell us a little bit about Lennox?
Oh, Lennox stayed with me for a couple of days this last week. His owner works as a civilian in Afghanistan for the military, and he goes back and forth quite often. In fact, he has to put in for his leave the same as if he was a soldier. And he came out, brought me his dog, had contacted me over the internet, email and things while he was still in Afghanistan, and explained some problems that he was concerned about with his dog, who had been living with a woman for quite some time and experiencing aggression towards men. That doesn't work since he's a guy and it's his dog.
And he is an absolutely beautiful
He's a Belgian Malinois.
I was thinking of what it was, and then I lost it there for a second.
And he is absolutely gorgeous, and he's sweet. He really is. He after the 2 days he spent with me doing his evaluation while his owner was in Vegas, I hope he did win something. He didn't let me know. But he got to know me really well, trust me really well. In fact, jumped up in my arms when his owner got there, gave me a big kiss on the face, jumped out, and was ready to go. So that was his way of saying goodbye, and that blew me away because, as you know, I'm a little bit standoffish with the protection breeds, Malinois and Dutch Shepherds for sure, because I was attacked a couple of years ago by a Dutch Shepherd. So I still have my moments of, you know, spread, you know, walk, tread lightly or whatever it's called.
And another dog just dropped off yesterday, Cyrus. He comes from Memphis, Tennessee. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Cyrus is an 8-year-old golden retriever who is dog aggressive. Severely dog aggressive. Worked out with our son Tyler when he dropped off and did wonderfully for him. Worked out with me, did wonderfully. He's a great dog with people. He has fear aggression, leash aggression, and territorial aggression with other dogs. Doesn't matter how big they are or how small. We're talking about a 97-pound 8-year-old golden retriever who has lived with his mother his entire life, never left the home that he was born in. The girl that owns him is moving out here to Estes Park, and she'd like to bring him along and have him be able to coexist with her friends and their dogs. And you're going to develop a program for us to follow, and I think he's going to do quite well.
So as you see, guys, we do nationwide training with our Camp Works program. If you'd like to learn more about that, DenverDogWorks.com. Michelle?
Yes, and I do like to let everybody know that our Camp Works programs are different than everyone else's because I'm not just dealing with obedience. Your Camp Works program is described on my website, but that's just the basis of the program. You're going to get some specialized training. For instance, Lennox is actually going to be learning how to do tracking one with Robert while he goes through obedience and canine good citizen with me, and then we're going to be working on his aggression as a team effort. Cyrus will also be working on his obedience. He will be learning advanced obedience and going through canine good citizen training, as well as having his behavior modified with us together.
There you go. You're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show brought to you by Twine Group Media and coming to you live from Denver Dog Works in Colorado. Before we get into our Bark World Expo segment, I do want to mention starting next week, we're going to do a pre-recorded show because I will be in Alaska, but we're going to introduce our Ask a Vet segment starting next week. And you can ask questions of our vet, Dr. Holly Cogswell of Aurora Animal Hospital, and you can send questions to her at live@dogdoctorradio.com. The first couple of weeks, she's just going to give a couple of quick segments, about 2 minutes in length, about particular topics that pertain to the world of dogs. And we encourage all of our listeners, no matter where you're at, all over the world, to send in questions and comments to Dr. Holly Cogswell, and she'll be sure to answer those as well. Michelle?
Dr. Holly Cogswell.
I was stumbling there a little bit. I need to get a drink of water. So before that, make sure that that you do send those questions to us at live@dogdoctorradio.com. Okay, so without further ado, I want to introduce our two guests, Denise Quashie. She is the founder of the Bark World Expo in Atlanta on August 20th through 22nd, And she and I have been speaking quite a bit over the last couple of months, not only planning this expo, but also doing some fundraising efforts for our Iditarod team. Denise, are you there?
I am here.
How are you today?
I'm good. And it's just funny listening to you guys talk about the weather because it is very hot in Atlanta as well. we are, I think, at 93 degrees, but it feels like 99 degrees with 50% humidity. So it's a little warm outside.
It is. And I grew up there on the East Coast. I was a military kid, so I know exactly what it's like in Atlanta. And that is way too hot for me there.
Yeah.
So also
definitely.
On the line, we have Natalie Mala-Zinko. Did I pronounce that correct, Natalie?
Yes, you did. Thank you.
No problem. And you are with Petco, is that right?
I am, yes. I've been with Petco for almost 2 years now.
What do you do with that company?
I am the director of social media and commerce, so I have the coolest job at Petco.
That is awesome.
Yes, I get to talk to customers all day long, whether they are tweeting and blogging as their pets or they are tweeting and blogging as themselves. And I get to bring my dog to work with me every day, too. And he's here with me, actually, as part of the call today. His name is Sarge.
Are you at the headquarters of Petco?
I am. So we are in the beautiful and sunny San Diego. So it's not quite as hot as it sounds like it is in Georgia or in Denver. But we definitely have a beautiful blue sky today, about 70 degrees, just about the perfect temperature.
And, you know, we were just talking that I was in California last weekend, and I was hanging out in Santa Cruz. And I tell you what, that is an awesome beach there. I haven't been to San Diego in quite a while, but I tell you what, if you're going to go to California, you got to hit up some of the beaches, aren't you?
Absolutely.
There you go. So what we're going to do here, guys, is we're just going to have a conversation back and forth, just talking about what Bark World is all about, what you guys are going to do for Petco, Natalie, and, you know, just promote the event a bit. I'm also going to be a speaker there, and I'm looking very forward to it. We're also going to host this show live both days there, and we're going to have people come up and be guests on the show and have not only vendors and speakers, but also just, you know, participants come up and talk about why they're attending events. So this is truly going to be a social media phenomenon at the Bark World Expo. So if you will, Denise, tell us what Bark World Expo is, why you guys started it, et cetera.
Sure. Well, Bark World Expo really started just kind of as a fluke in a way because I was already utilizing social media for myself and for clients of mine. And a couple of friends, my dog's friends, I guess I should say, not my friends, my dog's friends, were on Twitter and Facebook. And so they told me, well, you know, you should put your dog on Twitter. It'll just be kind of fun. So I put my dog on there just to be silly. And a couple of days later, he had over 60 followers. And I realized that all of the tweets and comments that he was getting was they were all from dogs and cats and rabbits and ferrets on Twitter, and they had a whole new language. So it was more than I even knew that was out there. I knew that there was a pet community online, but I had no idea how large the community was and how many great things the community was doing on Twitter and Facebook. So with me having the event background that I have, I thought it only made sense since no one else had thought of the idea to create a forum and a venue really for these online pet owners to get together once a year. So I created Bark World Expo, and it's turned into a three-day event. I thought in the beginning that it would be, you know, a fun one-day event that we'll get together, maybe a couple of sessions. And then when I really started digging into it, there was so much content that needed to be delivered to pet owners because, again, there's no one event that I know of that pet owners and pet businesses can come together and learn from each other, collaborate, network, share ideas. So, you know, it turned into a three-day event, and we're really excited to have Petco and other companies and speakers involved with this event. It's going to be a really exciting time in August here in Atlanta.
And we shouldn't have any problems with the weather. I know this has been a theme so far. I think it'll be well into the 150 there in Atlanta then.
Yes, unfortunately. But, you know, I've been telling people it is late August, which is technically fall for us here in Atlanta. So it won't be as hot as it will be in July. So it should be okay.
All we are going to need is a few of the baby pools that you guys are going to put out for the dogs. Mark those for humans as well.
Yes,
we'll be okay.
Definitely. Definitely. The good thing, though, all of the education is inside with AC. So
there you go.
That's a great thing.
So, mm-hmm. Natalie, what are you guys doing with Petco and Bark World Expo?
We are just delighted to be a part of this. Denise has done a fantastic job pulling this all together and creating something that I think will be memorable for every attendee of the conference, and even people that can't be there but still can take part in it through Twitter and Facebook as well. So we are partnering with Denise on a bunch of different things, and we'll be speaking. And I think primarily for us, we just want to meet people that are out there talking every day. And what's really funny is because people do tweet and blog as their pets, when you actually meet them in person, you don't know them, you know their pets. So I'm really looking forward to see who the wonderful pet parents are behind all the pets out there.
You know, that is so true. A couple of weeks ago, I wrote an article on examiner.com, and it was talking about the comedian Chelsea Handler, and she has a dog named Chunk. And, of course, she has a big show on E-Network or however you say that network. But her dog, Chunk, has more followers than she does.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
I've communicated with Chunk a few times, and I've been trying to encourage Chunk to come to Bark World. His tweets are pretty funny.
They are. So Natalie, why, you know, I know it's a dog event, but why is Petco taking part in this?
Petco's taking part in this because the relationship with the people out there who are tweeting and blogging as their pets and are so passionate about their pets is really important to us. We do have communications with them every day on our Facebook page, on their Facebook pages, but being able to meet them in person and truly understand who they are and why it's so important to them to be out there as their pets is going to be very powerful for us as we continue to move forward within social media and just really build those relationships with those customers. We're very excited about that.
Is your big competitor to remain nameless as savvy on social media as you guys?
I think that's a good question. I do see them doing a lot of really great stuff, and I think in the case of a conference like this, it's a great opportunity for us, our competitors, and anyone within the pet industry to get out there and have a relationship. And what I love about what Denise has done is, regardless of competition, it's a great forum just to build this awareness for the people out there that are blogging and tweeting as their pets and really just raise the whole channel together. So I look at it so much as competition, but as thank you, Denise, for doing the right thing by pulling everybody together.
That is so true. And Denise, you and I talked a little bit about this a couple of weeks ago about the absolute phenomenon of Twitter and social media. And I had mentioned to you that I've only been on for about a year and a half, and almost all of our business comes from social media now. We don't do any advertising in the Yellow Pages. We don't do anything other than Facebook, Twitter, of course, this radio show and things like that. And I cannot believe the amount of response that people take from something as simple as Twitter. Can you tell us a little bit about that, and why do you think it is such a phenomenon?
Sure. People tend to gravitate to, you know, new things. So I think that's really how kind of Twitter got started. And, you know, we have to thank, I guess, Ashton Kutcher for really putting Twitter on the map. I mean, I was using Twitter back then, but it wasn't as popular back then. But I think people really like the instant feedback that you can get, especially brands. You know, I do ghosting for some of my clients on Twitter, and it's great to get that instant feedback. And, you know, I try to explain to people that even if you don't have an interest personally of being on Twitter, it's a great forum for you as a business or brand to be out there because your customers and your clients are there. So it's a perfect opportunity for you to see what is happening and taking place and what people are saying, and even to get an idea what your competition is up to as well. And because it's so fast and so current, you know, it makes news really become a thing that's fascinating to people because they're able to get, you know, 140 characters of, you know, what's happening very quickly and very instant. So I think people gravitate to things like that they can find out the information that they need pretty quickly. And you'd be surprised about the amount of relationships that you can acquire by being on a social media platform. Some of my best friends I've met through blogging or I've met through Facebook, and some that I've never even met personally in real life. So it's just a nice way to be able to communicate in such a virtual space with people.
And you would be surprised. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think from a pet standpoint, one of the main reasons for Barkworld and goals that I have for the event is for pet owners to be able to network and communicate the same challenges that we have. You know, I attend other social media conferences, but unfortunately they don't talk about pet social media. And if folks that don't own pets, they think we're a little insane sometimes because we do tweet and Facebook this way. But there's so much that we're doing that's for good. And I really want to bring light to that from a social media standpoint, that we have the same challenges, we have the same questions, we have the same needs, and we're doing some really great things for charity via social media in that platform as well.
You know, it's really too bad that the conferences that are out there for social media aren't acknowledging the amount of pet industry that is out there utilizing social media for advertising now.
Yeah, and I don't think that they're doing it on purpose. I honestly feel that they just don't know. To be quite honest, I've had my dog for a while and grew up with dogs, and I've been utilizing social media for the longest, but I never even thought that there was that large of a community. So I think that it's just a matter of they just don't know. So we hope with Barkworld that we can showcase what we're doing and that it is a huge community, and anyone that communicates via social media can communicate with folks that are pet tweeters, pet bloggers, and just, you know, average everyday people that just utilize social media just for their own brand.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's a wonderful opportunity for people because, there's still so many Yahoo groups out there, you know, the list for different types of breeds. For instance, I belong to a German Shepherd list, and, you know, those people talk back and forth on their email list, but they are afraid to branch out there to the social media, and I keep trying to encourage them to because there's a lot of things that they discuss, such as cancers in these dogs and things like that, that need to be put out there for more people because sometimes your vet doesn't know what your dog is going through, and you do, so you have the opportunity to share that experience, and what better way but than to use social media.
Yeah, I was on there's a Twitter group called Pet Chat. It takes place on Monday nights on Twitter, and I participated in the one this past Monday, and there were two dogs on there on Pet Chat that had just met, and they both have diabetes. So it was really great for them just to be able to connect and share ideas of their challenges that, you know, their dogs are going through, and without social media, they may have never even met. So I think that there's a lot of great that people can find by utilizing social media.
Well, you know, I can tell you guys, it used to not be called social media. A few years ago, that's how I met Robert. It was just simply called chat rooms.
So Natalie, I have a question for you and Petco. I'm a brand new foursquarer, I guess is the proper term of it. And what I'm finding absolutely amazing about something like Foursquare, and I think Foursquare is kind of the new Twitter, is businesses are offering specials for you to visit their particular establishment. And one place in particular is Starbucks. If you become the mayor of a Starbucks, you get $1 off a Frappuccino or something like that just by using the social media network as Foursquare and also frequenting that particular store. Does Petco do anything like that? And if you do, what kind of specials do you offer?
Foursquare is definitely something that we're playing with a lot, even here internally. There's an ongoing battle between me and my manager on who owns the building that we work in. Right now, I'm the mayor. I'm very proud to be so. So I'm also the mayor of my local Petco, so I'm super excited about that. So we definitely here at headquarters are getting really excited about it. So it's something that we are exploring this year, and more to come on that soon. What I'm personally looking forward to is seeing if any of these pets are become the mayor of the stores, not just the people. So looking forward to seeing what our fans start doing.
That's exactly right. And, you know, with that particular form of advertising, that is an entirely different niche of advertising, not only are you able to locate and promote your products to particular particular users, but it is very specialized type advertising. And I know doing all the research that we do on niche markets and target advertising and things like that, what a better way than to target the people that use your store the most? And that is a gold mine for marketing, isn't it?
Absolutely. And like you said, it's very targeted. And you're rewarding people who are really good customers and very loyal to you. And obviously, they're loyal if they keep coming back, and that's great. And so you really want to reward them. And I think Foursquare is a great opportunity to open up new doors within communicating to customers. I think, you know, using the email channel more historically, we do similar things where we run a reward and give better offers and deals to some of our best customers. This is a new modern way of doing it, right there as they're in your store. So definitely looking forward to continue to explore that for Petco. It's going to be exciting year for us.
And with that, it truly is internal competition, as you were mentioning. People come just to be the mayor of the place so they can get that special, and they will frequent your place more and more to get that little tag. To get a mayorship on Foursquare, I think you only have to visit the place twice if nobody else has. But imagine if you have a very busy Petco store or a Starbucks or whatever that is constantly receiving traffic via social media. What a better way to get people into your store or into your business than to offer a special like that? And yeah, it might be only a dollar off a cup of coffee, but that is bringing customers in on a daily basis just to see if they can get that special. And I think that's an awesome way to advertise. And just to change the subject a little bit, back to Denise, I know you do quite a bit of event promotions and set up. How do you guys promote your events using social media other than Bark World, and is it effective for you guys?
Sure. Well, a couple things. There is going to be a session at Bark World about mobile marketing. I mean, that's what Foursquare is all about. So we will be talking about how businesses can, you know, utilize those type of applications like Groupon, Scout Mob, Living Social, and now Foursquare. So we will be talking about that, which will be a really great session. As far as outside of Bark World, of course, we absolutely, you know, pride ourselves on making sure that social media is being influenced at our events. A lot of our clients, we've realized that they've cut their marketing spend so much because they're utilizing social media to sell registrations, to promote the event, to get sponsors, get exhibitors, et cetera. So it's really taken off to, unfortunately for the print industry, it's not so good, but from just a technology standpoint, it's been really, really great in that aspect. So we use things like Twitter falls, live streaming at events, having bloggers be our media and blogging at the event during the event. So really just trying to drive up a lot of buzz. Utilizing a lot of hashtags is important as well. So we try to really just, you know, incorporate all those new things at events.
Michelle?
So I kind of have a little bit of a question. If you're getting people to come to the Bark World Expo, are you only looking for fellow pet industry business owners? Or, I mean, what's the big draw?
No, it's really for pet owners, pet business companies, and really anyone that has a love for pets. You know, some of our speakers are pet bloggers or pet social media enthusiasts, but we have a lot of speakers that are just social media junkies, they would call themselves. So, you know, it's really just a social media conference, and we just happen to be talking about the pet industry. So the draw is for anyone that has a passion for pets and wants to learn more about things that they can do from a social media standpoint or to learn what they can do to take things to the next level. In fact, Natalie has two sessions at Bark World. She is one of our keynotes, and she's also doing another session on monetizing. So if you are already established blogger or social media enthusiast and now you realize, okay, now it's time for me to start making some money from doing all of this work every day, Natalie's going to be talking a little bit about that at Bark World as well, which is going
to be sure
a
to
very
catch
hot
that
topic. Yeah.
So Natalie, what are you – before we get into Denise talking about some of the speakers. If you will, Natalie, tell us what you're talking about other than the monetizing of your blogs and things. How are you bringing information to the table here at BarkWorld?
Well, in the keynote speech, Denise and I talked a little bit about this, and what we want to do is really talk to everyone about how to move beyond the awe factor. So the awe, as in we all love our pets so much, and we see those really cute pictures, and it inspires a round of awe, and how do we take it one step further? I think a lot of people are having fun with social when it comes to their pets. It's a fun topic. We love our pets very much, all of us. My dog also blogs and tweets, and you know, it's something that I do for fun. I don't do it for anyone but for me. However, I think a lot of people that are going to be attending this conference want to know, okay, but what does it look like beyond that? How do we really move forward with this, whether it's making money or whether it's doing something for our business, and really just trying to give some people some insight on how they take it one step further and how to really build a strategy.
That's a great point. And what I'm curious about, Natalie, and maybe Denise, is what about people that don't know anything about Twitter, tweeting or Facebooking or YouTubing or blogging or anything, and they may be a business owner and they want to jump into this. And I know Denise has mentioned hashtags and all these other things that a lot of people, those are just foreign words to. And just a testament, Michelle sitting right across the table from me is almost brand new to all this social media things, and she doesn't have a clue about hashtags and things. What about the new newbies of social media, and how can this help them?
I think, you know, people have to kind of – oh, sorry, go ahead, Denise.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think people need to sometimes baby step into things, and social can be really overwhelming where a lot of people will say, I have to be on Twitter, I have to be on Facebook, or these are the things I have to do, whether it's an individual or it's a company. And I think, you know, the panels that Denise has set up at this conference, if you start to look at some of the topics, should provide a lot of insight on where do you even begin. So I personally am looking forward to seeing that as well, because the perspective from a company the size of Petco is going to be different than an individual. So I think the topics she's put in place are just fantastic.
Denise?
Yeah, and just to add to that, we have our sessions kind of broken up in tracks. So if you take a look at the educational offerings, you can kind of get an idea. We're calling one of our tracks collars and leashes, which is really kind of the nuts and bolts. So that would be a, you know, perfect session for someone that's a newbie to really go to and kind of get an idea of, okay, step one, what do I need to do? And, you know, I always tell people, you know, you got to watch it first. You got to take a look. And you don't need to jump into everything, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and blogs and all that all at once. You know, like Natalie said, it's baby steps. And I think if they come to BarkWorld, they can see all the things that are out there for them to do and then really dissect on what's more important to them to kind of get started with. On that Sunday, we will also have a couple of hands-on workshops. So after you sit through some of the sessions on Friday and Saturday, Sunday you can say, okay, now I realize it's a fan page that I want versus a profile page. Then you can sit there and someone will actually show you hands-on how to set up your fan page. So Monday morning when you go back to the office or go back home, you'll be able to have it all set up and start posting.
And, you know, that's exactly how I got started. And I've told this story 1,000 times because it's truly a success story. I went to a Chamber of Commerce event, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving on 2009. And we were, the speaker was there. Michelle and I went to this just little event of about 50 people. And they were talking about Facebook and Twitter and all these things. And I didn't know anything about it. And I've been on the Internet before the Internet was the Internet. And I'm only 39 years old, but when we went there, they said, you have to be on Facebook. You have to be on Twitter. So that day after Thanksgiving, that Friday, I set up my Facebook page and set up the Twitter page and just jumped into it 110%. And what ended up happening there is it has exploded like wildfire. And just a couple of months later, on January 31st, 2009, this was 2008, excuse me, 2009, January 31st, was our first episode of the Dog Doctor Radio Show. And we started off very small, you know, maybe 100 or 200 listeners there. And within a couple of months, we had 500, 1,000, 1,500 listeners per show. And pretty soon, what ended up happening on Facebook is I got to the point where Facebook has knocked me off of taking friends. I am no longer allowed to accept friends on my personal profile because so many people are listening to our radio show and utilizing social media that every Saturday morning we'll have 100 requests in our inbox for new friends. So this is truly a testament of how social media works. And as we mentioned just a couple of minutes ago, this is our primary form of advertising. We're spending about $100 a month to produce this radio show in terms of paying for social media. But that is coming in terms of business a thousandfold. We're getting clients from all over the country, all over the world, only utilizing three very simple things: social media in terms of Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
And Foursquare now.
Excuse me?
And Foursquare.
And Foursquare. But before that, we were brand new to this, and I just find it absolutely amazing. So my next question to Natalie is, what about the little guy like us? I mean, we're just a little dog training school. Pretty much it's Michelle and I and a couple of contract trainers. How are little guys competing with the big guys like Petco or some other larger type, not even pet-oriented business, but other types of business? What do you think in regards to that, Natalie?
I think that there are some great examples out there of smaller businesses that are doing a fantastic job with social media in every industry. And when I talk to smaller businesses who are doing it right and doing it well and are happy with how they're doing, I hear the same thing over and over again. And if we took the time to listen and explore and research to find where our customer is really living. So again, there's this misconception that everything has to take place on Facebook and Twitter. And to have a business, we must have a fan page. But sometimes customers live on forums. Sometimes customers live just on blogs. So I think it's really worth the time to stop and look and really even use Google Alerts if you have to find out where your customers are spending majority of their time on the internet and start with those locations to start your social program.
And that's great advice. Denise,
okay, hold on.
Go ahead.
All right, like Robert told you guys, I'm the newbie here. So what you just said didn't make a lick of sense to somebody like me. So help us out a little bit.
I would go to Google and I would search for things that are similar to you. So for example, if you have a dog training business, search for dog training and just see what comes up and look for other companies, look for other websites, but also look for blogs that are focused on dog training. See where a lot of the chatter and the buzz is happening. If you're really fascinated with Facebook, just do a Facebook search for dog training. See what kind of groups and discussions are coming up and what they're talking about to kind of help you form, okay, this is what my customers seem to be saying. These are kind of some of the common problems, which I think will be similar to some of the questions you get when customers walk in the door or call you, and just really to help form the strategy that way. So try to look at where they're the most active rather than saying, well, everyone else I know has a Facebook page for their business. That's what I need to.
And that, again, an excellent point. And this next question is for both of you guys. You might have a different perspective on it. What about the people that are using social media? I know it spreads throughout the demographics. Whether it be, the 16-year-old person that wants to come in and buy a dog toy for their puppy or, 79-year-old grandma that's reading blogs during the day. Who is the target market for social media? Is it, only internet-savvy people or is it, the people that I mentioned?
Well,
is this for me or for Denise?
Both of you guys, either one first.
Okay.
My dad is 66, and he's on Facebook heavily, more so than I am. So I think it depends. I mean, I think it depends on your brand. If you're a company and you're using social media, I always feel that you have to go where your client base is. So if your demographic is, the 18 to 25-year-olds, I mean, they're definitely utilizing it quite heavily. If your demographics is, in their 50s to 60s, it depends on the product and it depends on your reach. And if they're there, then you need to be there. So Natalie can probably answer better from a Petco perspective or just from a large company standpoint, but I think social media, anyone can use it.
I agree completely. I think we're seeing a little bit of everybody out there. I think there's preferences of different kinds of channels. So before I worked for Petco, I worked for Dell, and a lot of it was about tech support, and people were having problems with their computers, and their channel of preference was definitely the forums. They love message boards and the forums, and they're very comfortable with that functionality. It did skew a little bit younger. It did skew a little bit more to males, where at Petco, we see a lot of females participating a bit more, and we do see a lot of females who are a bit older, a little bit more comfortable on Facebook than they would be with a message board and forum. So I think for us, we really try to understand the channel and what people are comfortable with, and when we determine how we're going to speak with them, the same way we would with the rest of our marketing. So our circulars that go in our Sunday newspapers, that may not work very well for someone who prefers the social channels, but we still have customers that really want that, you know, the circular in their hands on the Sundays. So we look at all of our marketing as maybe not so much, you know, is it for everyone, but how do you reach different kinds of people based on how they want to be spoken with and talked to?
That's exactly right. And I tell you what, the smartphone industry has really helped this out a lot. I am one and a iPhone addict. I have my iPhone going pretty much 24 hours a day from the time I wake up until the time I go to bed. And with that, that is my primary mode of utilizing social media. Almost all of my posts on Facebook and Twitter and Foursquare and everything else are pretty much done at a traffic light driving from one appointment to the other, and it looks like I'm spending all of my time on social media, but it's all these very quick updates that take a matter of 30 seconds to do, but those updates keep not only the followers and friends, but also not only solidifies your brand, but also keeps you real as a person and as a business. Don't you think so as well, Natalie?
I do think so. I agree completely. It's a great way to put it.
And what do you think about that, Denise?
Oh, I agree. I definitely agree.
Do you guys, at Petco, how do you guys utilize social media in terms of getting your message out? Is it just a bunch of people that are, you know, tweeting about, you know, the special on dog food, or what's going on at a large place like that?
We look at social two ways. We look at how do we reach the masses? How do we reach everyone who just loves the Petco brand or doesn't like the Petco brand and they want to have a conversation with us? But then we also look at maybe niche markets within the pet specialty industry. So, for example, natural and natural foods and the organic lifestyle, it's very important to our company. We absolutely support it. We live it here locally. We really believe in it as a movement. And we make sure that there's a way to communicate with those people as well who may not want to come to talk to Petco, but they're involved in the movement of natural. So we have the Petco Facebook page and we have the Petco Twitter accounts, and we tend to have more generic conversations. So we will tell them about specials and deals that we're doing in stores, but we really just try to have a conversation with them. If you go to our fan page, it's a lot of, check out this really cute picture of the dog. If you could name the dog, what would it be? Just really having that relationship with the customers is more important to us than anything else. It's not about the sales pitch. It's about just building that relationship. And again, if they don't like us, and they want to tell us that too, we've learned a lot about what may or may not be working for our customers, and we definitely make sure that the customer's voice is echoed throughout the halls of Petco so we can take that feedback, that direct real-time feedback, and share it with the organizations responsible within our company. So it's been really powerful for us from just hearing just directly from that customer. Then we have something called Generation Natural Pet. And it's the opportunity for us to have relationships and conversations with people who are dedicated to that natural lifestyle, where we don't necessarily talk about the brands we sell. We talk about the natural lifestyle. So, for example, there's a lot of people out there who actually believe in making sweaters out of their dog's hair. It's a way that they recycle, if you will. And we just think that that's absolutely fascinating. So it doesn't have to do with any product we're selling. It just has to do with we speak your language, we understand that there's a movement here, and we are part of the movement ourselves, and we just want to join the conversation with you. So it's masses versus niche for us with both very different goals.
And that's a great way to do it. And I know one company in particular that does that quite well. That is Comcast, the cable company. People are tired of spending an hour on hold waiting to get a customer service rep. So they tweet their problem over to @ComcastCares or whatever it is, and they're getting immediate feedback to the cable being out on Oak Street or whatever instead of, you know, staying on hold forever. And I think that's a great way to utilize social media. And I think not only is Petco doing a great job, but so many other companies. So my next question to you, Denise, is I know you're the coordinator of this. So how do you want to utilize our radio show there at the Bark World Expo?
Well, you know, we would love, absolutely love, to be able to have all of, you know, the 125,000 animals that are on Twitter come to this event, but I know that that's just not possible. So we would really like to provide a forum for them to communicate via your radio show. So I know that we need to connect and talk a little bit more through the details, but my vision is if people want to hear what's going on, so maybe after Natalie's keynote, you know, we will have Natalie do, you know, 2 minutes on your radio show, and maybe people can tweet some questions, and we could answer them on the radio and so forth. So I really like to utilize our Twitter streams as well as be able to communicate and provide updates of what's happening at BarkWorld to those that were just not able to make it to the event.
And that's a great idea, and that's what Michelle and I were thinking. And the nice thing about doing this, of course, is we don't need a conference hall full of people. We can truly get our message out to the masses just by utilizing social media, whether it be Twitter or Facebook or this show or something else. We can have a handful of people talking about particular topics, but truly we're reaching millions of people on Twitter in a real-time forum. You know, Twitter is such a fast-moving thing. If you don't catch it right then, you may never see it again. And I think that's not only a good way of utilizing social media, but it also can be a hindrance if people find it to be too fast.
Right. Yeah, I went to a conference, I guess about a couple weeks ago up in New York, and it was there was only 25 people there. But the Twitter hashtag that we utilized, I think they sent out the stats that had over 36,000 impressions. So here it is, 24 of us in a room for a couple of hours, and it made over 36,000 impressions on Twitter. So, I mean, that just goes to show that, you know, utilizing Twitter or any social media platform correctly can bring so much exposure to something so small.
Exactly. Natalie, do you want to add to that?
No, I think Denise sums up really well.
So Denise, let's talk a little bit about the conference itself. I know you've mentioned some keynote speakers and some workshops and stuff. So tell us who is going to be there. What, you know, just a brief summary of what they're talking about. You know, what people can expect, whether they're there live in person or, you know, they're just following the conversation along on their Twitter account.
Sure. Well, I think a couple things that people can expect is surprises because, you know, BarkWorld is very unconference-like, and, you know, all of our speakers are very engaging. They're going to have fun, interactive sessions. They'll be, you know, having a lot of, you know, feedback going back and forth between the speakers and to the attendees. So it's going to be a great way for attendees to feel comfortable to ask questions, to get up and tell us what they're doing on Twitter or Facebook. So it's going to be a real fun, interactive couple of days. So that's the first thing. The second thing, there are a lot of great sessions that are taking place. And if you take a look at our agenda, it's broken up into tracks. So one of our tracks is branding, PR, and marketing. So if you are utilizing social media and you're at the point now where, okay, I have a presence on social media, now what do I need to do? I need to build my brand. I want more hits on my website, or I want to have more hits on my dog's blog site. Those are sessions that are really geared towards those individuals. So we'll be talking a lot about creating a distinctive social media voice. So if there are 50,000 dogs, you know, blogging, how is your dog's blog going to stand out, you know, from those other ones? Also, based on that, we'll be talking about analytics. So how to watch, you know, who's coming to your website, how to, you know, mark that traffic, and how to get a better Google page ranking. And if all of that's foreign to you, then you will learn what those definitions mean at BarkWorld. We're also going to be talking a lot about blogging and podcasts. So there are a lot of pet bloggers out there, and some of them will be coming to BarkWorld, and they want to learn how to write a better blog. So we will have Kim with Regator, and Regator, that's their job. Their job is to showcase the best blogs in the world. And so you submit your blog to their company, and if it's good enough, it gets on their website. So she will be there. She's one of the founders of that company. So it will be really great to have her there to talk to people about how to write a great blog, how to get it more exposure, and how to watch your analytics for it as well. We talked a little bit earlier about nuts and bolts, things that you just need to know, some one-on-one sessions. That is our Callers Unleashed, so we'll have some sessions geared towards that. And then we also have a track that's called The Dog Park, and that track is really for more fun, community, nonprofit, geared type sessions. So how to be social offline, how to market your nonprofit, because, you know, there are a lot of nonprofits out there, they don't have the marketing spend. So utilizing social media is something that will be very easy and inexpensive for them to do. So we'll be helping them a lot with tips and tricks and tools that they can utilize from a social media standpoint for nonprofits.
That sounds great stuff. And you're also having a marketplace as well where people can, you know, put out their wares in a vendor-type situation?
Yeah, absolutely. So we will have an exposition area, and the venue that we're utilizing, called Atlantic Station, that venue receives over 50,000 visitors every weekend. So just from the regular pet folks that will be coming out, there are a lot of just locals that come to this venue on a regular basis. So if you are a pet brand company, this is a perfect opportunity for you to exhibit your brand to this large community. So it will be great. It'll be a little warm, but it'll be great.
It sounds like a great time, but my question to you is, and maybe it's just because of where you're located, but why Atlanta?
Well, a couple of reasons. I think Atlanta is one of the easiest cities to get in and out of, and I don't just say that because I live here. I, too, am an Army brat, so I was born in Germany. I went to high school in Europe, and my parents are from different parts of the world, so I am very comfortable with traveling. I've been to a lot of major cities, including Denver, for a lot of conferences. So I just feel that Atlanta is one of the easiest cities to fly into, and you can almost always catch a flight here. And
I think every airline in the world flies to Atlanta.
The only one that does not is Southwest. So
okay.
Southwest flies to Birmingham, and that's just an hour and a half away. So if you want to fly there, you can hop in a car and drive. But other than that, you know, I think it's a real easy city to get into. And I saw on Twitter the other day that we have an attendee that's actually taken Amtrak. So it's pretty funny that, you know, planes, trains, and automobiles are making their way to Barkworld. So I just think it's an easy city to get into. Atlanta is a fun city as well. There's a lot of shopping. There's a lot of food places. There's a lot to do. And the venue that I selected is surrounded by shopping centers. So there's a Target. There's an Old Navy. There's a pet-friendly hotel called Hotel 12, which has suites, and it has double rooms, so if you want to bunk with other pet lovers, you can do so at that hotel for a really great rate. So I just thought that, you know, it was an inexpensive major hub city that's easy to get in and out of for folks. So I chose Atlanta.
Do you have a guest coming in from the UK, or is she just there now?
Yeah, so Lynn High, she's also one of our keynotes. She's the founder of PawPotty.com. And what Lynn does is something just so wonderful. She helps charities in need by raising money for them via Twitter. So every month there are these virtual paw potties that take place. It's the hashtag PawPotty. And they're themed differently every time. Barkworld had one, I guess about a month ago. It was a pajama party theme, and we helped raise, I believe it was over $1,800 for a charity out somewhere in Georgia, I believe. So, you know, she does a lot of charity fundraising, and she's gotten a lot of great response and media from doing so, and she started it right there at her home in the UK. And many people think that she's in the US because the hours that she keeps, and she's constantly on Twitter all the time and blogging about different pet-related needs. So she will be one of our speakers at the event, and she will be talking a lot about how she started fundraising on Twitter and how social media can be used for things that you have a passion for. So maybe you're not looking to monetize for your own pocket, but maybe you have a particular a reason or a campaign, and she's going to talk a lot about how you can utilize social media for those sorts of things.
And you can find out more information about Bark World Expo at barkworldexpo.com or on Twitter at Bark World Expo. That's the @ Bark World Expo. And of course, there will always be links on our website back and forth, as well as our blogs and everything else, denverdogworks.com. Natalie, we have a few minutes left. What do you want to end with today?
I think I'm just going to end with come to the conference. We're all really excited about going. And again, Denise has done a fantastic job putting this together. It's going to be a lot of fun, but also really educational. And just watching how she chose the topics, I think there's going to be something for everybody. So I think your questions earlier about pretend I know nothing, how would you help me? She's going to have stuff for those people, as well as people who are really advanced and say, okay, how do I really crank this up a notch? So she's done a great job with the people who are coming, with the types of topics and the panels. So I just want to end it with, please come and join us. We're going to have a great time.
Thank you very much, Natalie, and we'll let you go. We'll talk to you soon. I look forward to meeting you in August.
Looking forward to meeting you, too. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. And Denise, I just have one other question. Tell us a little bit about registration. How much does it cost? A little bit. We have about 3 minutes left. A little bit about where people can stay, et cetera.
Sure, sure, definitely. And a lot of this information, just in case you guys want to look at it while you're listening to the show, you can go to barkworldexpo.com, and all the details are there. But registration is open for the 3-day pass. It is $129 to attend. However, and I hate that Natalie dropped off so quickly, because Petco has offered to give everyone a $30 Petco gift card that comes. So that's really an instant rebate. Plus, you get a cool swag bag full of all sorts of dog and cat clothes, treats, samples, and all sorts of things. So it would be really great. And Spencer Quinn is coming, too, and he's giving away some of his books that retail for $25. So, yes, you know, you'll pay the registration rate, but when you come, you'll get all this great content for 3 days. You'll get a Petco gift card, you'll get an autographed book, and you'll get a cool swag bag full of stuff. So,
you know, those swag bags, that's what everybody's looking for anyway.
I know. I would just pay just to get the swag bag.
There you go.
And then one last thing I do just want to mention, Social Media Day is coming up on Wednesday, June 30th, and Mashable has deemed that day as the day that everyone should celebrate social media. So Barkworld will be having a virtual party on Twitter. It's called a Yappy Hour from 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, so please feel free to join us.
There you go. Denise, I'll send you an email after the show, and if you could forward that to Natalie, because I don't have her phone number, so I want to be able to thank her via email. Denise,
sure.
It's been a pleasure. You and I will talk later on, and we'll continue our mission towards not only Bark World, but also our Iditarod conferences coming up. We're looking forward to doing that, maybe a little mini rock tour that we talked about, so I think that'll be fun.
Definitely.
As well.
Definitely.
So I look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you so much for joining us. That is Denise Quashy, and she is the founder of Bark World Expo. That is barkworldexpo.com. Denise, we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show, part of Twine Group Media, and brought to you by Denver Dog Works. Next week, we will be in Alaska, so we're going to do a pre-recorded show. But the week after that, we're going to have on Nicholas Goodman, the producer of Canine Instinct, the movie that we reviewed a little while ago. So look forward to having you guys join us for that, and hopefully we'll have on the star of that movie, Kyle Warren. My name is Dr. Robert Forto. You're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show. Never forget your dreams. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.